You open up your Bibles to Romans, the first chapter. This morning we read from this chapter, and tonight we're going to read on. And I'd like to express my appreciation for everybody being out tonight and looking forward to getting to know you a little bit more. I'm learning more and more names as the day progresses, and looking forward to spending some time with you all this afternoon too. But at this time we're having an opportunity to come together and study things that I think that will be profitable to all. I will tell you that tonight's lesson was a request, and I won't identify anybody on that, but I thought, well, yeah, I guess I could do that lesson, but then I've already had to apologize to a couple of people here who have seen it or heard it before, but they didn't seem to mind. And I'll tell you something, folks, the lesson I'm going to talk about tonight, I have taught this lesson to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, one-on-one, and I never grow tired of doing it. And I think you'll find tonight's lesson rather interesting, to say the least. But we're going to start in Romans chapter 1 for a reason. Now, in Romans chapter 1, we're going to pick it up in a verse, well, verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things." And we'll just stop there. You know, folks, we need to know why we believe what we believe. A lot of people say that, well, no, I think what you believe is more important than why. Well, that is dangerous. That is dangerous. You know, you can even believe the truth, but you could believe it for all the wrong reasons, and that could get you into trouble down the road. You say, well, I believe in God. Well, that's great, but why do you believe in God? I had a lady tell me one time she believed in God, and I said, why? She said, I don't know. I said, well, you're in trouble. You need to know why you need to believe. You need to have a solid foundation, and you need to build on that, strengthen that foundation as you go through life, and you can handle the fiery darts of the evil one, those seeds of doubt that creep into our minds as to whether there really is a God and whether this really is the Word of God. Those are the two big challenges that we have. Is God real, and did God speak to us? Well, I'll tell you, there are a lot of things that you can study to prove the existence of God and to prove that this Bible is the Word of God. Tonight is just another one of those lessons. But I want you to think about that. You know, it doesn't really bother me if somebody says, I don't believe in God, just give me a chance to prove His existence. Or if somebody says, I don't believe this is the Word of God, just give me a chance to prove that it is, that's all. And tonight we're going to be talking about a number of people that I have had the opportunity to study with, and you're going to see why. Danny has too, but I mean, a particular kind of people. You say, why is that? Well, we're going to be talking about the fact that I have had opportunities when I lived in Toronto, when I worked in the Chinese community, and had an opportunity twice to go to China, and Debbie came with me the second time. And what I am about to show you tonight, it's one of those sermons that are you have to see it. You have to visualize. I mean, the point is, if the power goes off tonight, people always say, preachers, don't always rely on PowerPoint, because if the power goes out, what are you going to do? Well, you better have a hard copy. I can't have a hard copy of tonight's lesson. Power goes out, different sermon. We're going to switch things. And so we're hoping power doesn't go out. This is one of those things, if you can't see, if you're behind a pole, if you just have a hard time seeing, it's very important that you actually be able to see the screen tonight, so you won't offend me if you get up and start walking around for better seats. But that's okay. But tonight we're going to be talking about something, just an additional evidence, and I will tell you, like I've told other people when I've studied with them, I said, look, I believed in God, I believed in His Word before I ever seen this. And so what I'm trying to show you tonight is that I'm not saying that you have to believe in God because of what I'm going to show you tonight. It's just an added proof. It's just something for you to think about, to reinforce the faith that you already have. Like we say, there are internal and external evidences that prove that this is God's Word. And if you want some more, even after the lesson tonight, set a class up. Dad would be glad to sit down and go through those evidences, because you know it's important that you believe, not because your mom and dad believe, not because Danny believes. You have to establish your own faith. I remember putting a sermon together talking about that. And, you know, those that are, quote, raised in the church, how do they establish their own faith? Well, they need to establish their own. Very important. Because when they leave, people are going to ask them why you believe certain things. And you need to give an answer for the hope that's within you. It's going to help you. And I know what it's like to deal with doubt. We all face bouts with doubts. I remember doing a sermon on that one time. Bouts with doubts. And Satan will do that. And he'll get into your head. You know, start getting you to question certain things. Well, that's a tangent. I better get back on track. All right. What I'm about to show you, a good friend of mine who unfortunately passed away at a young age, Bruce Hall and myself got a hold of this, so we don't take credit for what I'm about to show you. But what we did do is we sat down and realized that the people that we were studying with, their English wasn't so great. And so it just seemed like a lot of material. And like we talked about this morning, you know, sometimes less is more. And so we just went through stuff and we just kind of cleaned it up a little bit, which only reinforces the point that there's more evidence. There are other slides that I didn't even show you tonight. So there's more proofs that are out there. And of course, I know you're scratching your head and you're saying, Jeff, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, again, I have to just lead up to this. Always leave your audience wanting more and more. Okay. But you got to keep in mind that preaching this lesson, for me, gained strength the more and more I had opportunity to sit down and talk with people who did not believe in God, who did not believe the Bible was the Word of God, but who knew the Chinese language. I didn't. Still don't. I don't know the Chinese language, folks. You say, well, Chuck, do you need to know the Chinese language to go to heaven? No, you don't. But please bear with me. I don't know what it is. And you have to understand, showing this presentation to people who look at you and say, go ahead, I don't believe in God. Go ahead, I don't believe that this Bible is God's Word. I just believe this is an English book. I'm about to tell you that. And so when I've shown this to hundreds and hundreds of Chinese people who know the language, who are going to sit back, if there is an opportunity to say, that's not right, you've got that wrong, that's not what it means, they would say it. And I had a chance one time, you know, that's what I did in Toronto. I would always, when I had a class with a Chinese individual, an immigrant that came over recently, I would always ask him, so what did you do back in China? There was this one guy, he says, I'm a professor, I did, now I'm speaking more clear than he did, but I eventually got this out of him. Mr. Hong was his name. Danny met him. We sat in his place. Forgot that you knew him. And Mr. Hong, he was an expert on ancient Chinese characters. And I went, great. An expert in Chinese language. Didn't believe in what we're talking about. But I wanted him to see it. And I wanted him to say, so what do you think about that? Now, having said all that, let me show you what I have gone through and talked with people. And I'll tell you this much, folks. I have showed this to Canadians. Like, let me just put it this way. I've shown this to non-Chinese people. And a lot of them are sitting there going, wow, I can't believe this. But I'll tell you this much. You would not believe the many classes that I've sat in on. And I'm showing this to Chinese people who just say, go ahead and show me. Their jaw hits the table. Their jaw hits the table, especially when there's two or more. When there's just one, they just kind of keep quiet to themselves. But many a times I've had them in a class and I'd show them the slides and they'd look at each other and they'd go, did you know that? I didn't know that. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I can't believe that. It's unbelievable. And when it was all said and done, when we finished this class, that should be 30 minutes and it's stretching here, when we finish, it's not like they said, I believe in God. I believe this is the Word of God. But what it did is it cracked a shell there. That wall that was built up, that they came over, this idea that God is, that's Western idea. That's Western idea. This Bible, that's written by Western men. But we cracked it. And they were open for more study. And I would tell them, I said, you know what? There's other proofs out there besides what I've shown you, which you, no doubt, have been familiar with. I want to show you something maybe you've heard about, haven't seen. But let me just take it through. All right? Let me just take it through and be patient with me as we go through this. This is a different kind of lesson. I'm not, you know, I don't do this a lot as far as in the pulpit. Okay. Let's talk about this. The Chinese language. Like I say, you don't need to know Chinese, but it's one of the oldest continuous written languages in the world. Chinese people, there's an air of arrogance here, and they're like, yes, that's right about our language. And I want them to do that. And they'll say, well, you know, your language is like 45 years old. And I had a man once, well, more than one person would say, that's wrong, right off the bat. They'd say, it's 5,000 years old. And I go, thank you. I like that. The older the better. Okay? But remember, folks, keep in mind, we're talking about a timeline here. There's going to be a timeline come up here. But here's when Jesus died. Here's where we are, 2011. You know, we're going back here 2,500 years. And they say they can trace their language all the way back to when it started. Very few languages could do that. But they can trace it all the way back there. Unbroken. So what's so big deal about that? Well, let's move on. Well, it's how their language worked. It's the inventors of the written language. They drew pictures to express words or ideas when their language first started. Unlike with you and I, we have the alphabet, okay? Simple pictures were combined to make a more complex thought. It's funny when I show them an example of this. Here I am showing the Chinese people how to read their language. I guess I'm more or less showing them that I get it, okay? I'm saying, you know what, you can put some pictures together and they make a complex thought. And they're like going, you're telling me that? I know that. That's my language. And it's true. And so here are some symbols here that you look at and you say, well, Chuck, it means nothing to me. It could be Greek, right? Well, okay, but for a Chinese person, let's understand something here. You put these together, mouth, man, older brother, put them all together. The mouth man or spokesperson for the family was usually the oldest brother. The word means shun. And I said, now look, isn't that the way it works? You can break these symbols down. And they go, yeah, it tells a story. Now for you and me, I don't want to lose you tonight. This may seem a little boring, but I want you to understand something. It's just another tool that can be used to help the world's greatest skeptic out there. And there are some great skeptics out there who just will just flat out say there's no way there's a God and there's no way that the Bible is the Word of God. Okay? All right. So, well-known history and everyday things were used so people could remember. Remember, back here, they're going to use symbols that people could identify with. I mean, they're not going to use something like an iPad, right? They're not going to use an iPad back here. Oh, we know what that means. It hasn't even been invented yet. They're going to use things that the people at that time could identify with, and I want to stress that. All right. So long before Buddha, if you don't remember anything, please remember this timeline. Remember, guys, you guys encounter people all the time who don't believe in God. So long before Buddha, the Chinese people worshipped the same God described in the Bible. When I put that on there, and usually their English is poor, but they can read English better than they can speak it. So when I'm teaching this, they're reading this and they're going, huh? Our ancestors? They worship the God you read about in the Bible? Really? And I said, well, let's read on. I says, your own language proves that. And they go, what? I said, your own language, the proof is in the ancient Chinese characters. Now look, here's that timeline I told you about. Look where the Chinese language started, guys. And the Bible's going to support this. You think, Chuck, where's your Bible lesson tonight? Oh, you're going to get a lot of Bible tonight. You're getting the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. And the reason why you're going to get that is shown right here within the Chinese language. Look. Look how old their language is, folks. And look what you have here. When the first five books of the Bible were written, 1400 B.C. Now, we're going to lose this, so I wanted to keep it up here. So, you have 1400 B.C. Those scriptures came together, the Old Testament that we have, especially those first five books that we're talking about there. Here's the Chinese language, right? Let me put an arrow there so you don't get a little confused. 2,500 years ago, their language begins. There is no Bible. There is no Bible. Okay? Well, we tell them. Many in China today believe the Bible is a Western book. And they'll nod their head. That's right. They believe it was written by Western men. It's full of myths and fables. And it's more of an English book. That's when we went to China. It's like people wanted to learn English. They learned after their first class this was not an English class. And they just sifted out quickly. They were there to learn. We actually would teach this class. This wasn't the first one. Our first class, we talked about some of the problems with evolution. Our very first class, we would tell them, say, you know what? We have some problems with evolution. They go, really? Things that they've never thought about before. We would tell them, you know what? You are trained not to be a thinker. That hits a nerve because pride themselves on being very smart, very intelligent people. I'm saying, look, you were trained not to think. And he said, what do you mean? Were you allowed to disagree? Were you allowed to ask questions when they told you about evolution? Oh, no, we weren't. See, you were being trained not to think for yourself. And I said, you know what? I'm going to challenge your thinking. So we would go through the problems of evolution, and that's a separate lesson, and they go, wow. Never thought about that before. I said, yeah, that's your problem. You never thought about the other side before. Now, here it is. They have been taught, what is this? It's a myth, a book of myths, an English book. However, I tell them, I'm going to tell you stories in the Bible. I tell them, you're going to hear stories that are in the Bible, and that the Chinese characters which demonstrate the same story. And they're going, what? Yeah. Your ancestors knew stories in the Bible. Well, how could that be? How could they know stories in the Bible? The Bible hadn't even been put together yet, folks. How is that possible? Their language is accurate. It's one of the few languages in the world. Whether you agree with me or not, I mean, you've got these people who understand that when it comes tracing back the origin of the Chinese language, it's unbroken. So, having said that, we will prove that the ancestors of the modern Chinese knew the same stories that are written in the first part of the Bible. Now, how they knew that, I keep saying to them, as we're going through this, every slide I would say, you want to know how they knew this? And they keep saying, yeah, how do I know this? I says, what? Your own language is going to tell you that. The answer is found in your own language. They go, what? I said, you have to pay attention to the very end. Because your own language tells you how you knew these things. So I hope I have your interest. So, where are we going? We're going to the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter. You know this story, folks, right? You remember the Tower of Babel? The Lord wanted them to scatter, but they started building this tower all the way to heaven. God did not like that, so God said, let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Have you guys ever stopped and thought about the beginning of languages? If this is the beginning of time, we've got the tower, the different languages. There was a beginning. That's a Bible story you have been taught about. But I want you to think about it. Languages, different languages started back here. Now, I told them, I said, you might not believe this, but I know when the Chinese language started. The Bible talks about it. So we go there and we read this and we talk about how God wanted them to scatter. And we say, well, here's the main points of that story. It took place about 5,000 years ago. The oldest language is about that length. The languages were divided. And what happened when they couldn't understand one another, folks? Even young children can get this point. They scattered. They scattered. Well, they go, so, what's your point? Well, the scattering of the people. After the languages were changed, the people there scattered. And the Bible tells them scattering from Babylon. Really, why is that so important? Well, think about it. If the Bible is true, all nations migrated or moved from Babylon. This is what I'm telling the Chinese people. I said, everybody, all nations, when you think about the Tower of Babel, we don't know exactly where, but we know roughly that they all migrated from there. So having said that, here's the logical thing. The Chinese would have migrated or walked from the west to China. That's the logic behind all of this. Now here's what's interesting. Way back here, when the Chinese people left, scattered, and they started their language, they had a word back here for migrate. Back here in the beginning, They had a word for migrate, to move. Well, what was it? There it is. You say, Chuck, I don't even know what that means. Well, if you break it down, it means a great division and a west walk. I told him, I says, what was that great division? Why did you end up coming this way anyway? And it didn't say you came from the south or from the north. You came from the west. That's what you're migrating. Right? You know, it harmonized with what the Word of God has to say. Now, some of them at this point, I must confess, they're going, well, maybe. There you are. But they're not convinced. I said, I know you're not convinced yet. I said, but I want you to take in all the information. Now, here's where I stop and talk to them for a minute. I said, now let me ask you something. Please. I said, work with me here. If that were any of us, if we spoke a different language, okay? And let's say we migrated. We migrated. And we were going to make a language out of pictures that people could understand everyday things. When we migrate, will we take information from the past or from the future? And then they don't miss a trick. They go, well, from the past. Okay. That's why I tell them, we're going to take information from the past, and we're going to show you that the Chinese people took that information from the past and incorporated it into their language. Yeah, the Bible wasn't written for another, 1,000 years. And we're going to tell them that they're going to tell Bible stories. You go, oh, yeah? Yeah, let's take a look. And I told them, I said, now you tell me if any of these characters are wrong. Remember Mr. Hung? I remember asking Mr. Hung, he said, Mr. Hung, I said, look, you know the Chinese characters, right? I said, is that the word for migrate? Mm-hmm, it is. And all these other things, when you break it down, he says, that's exactly what it is. I hadn't had any Chinese person. And in China when we did this, for 2 months, 2 separate times, we would show this to people. And they would agree with it, that's accurate. So the Chinese walked from the west after a great division. So let's go back to the beginning now, folks. You want to hear some Bible? You know this well. The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth and all that are in them. That's what the Bible teaches, right? There it is, Genesis 2. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and they became a living being. That's what the Bible teaches. So, they had a word for created. Let's look. Did they really believe in evolution like they've been taught? Well, look what we have here. They have a word for to create. Walking and talking. Full grown. Not evolution. Not slowly evolved. Dust, breathe, alive, talking. I asked them, I said, where are they getting that information from? They're describing exactly what happened back in the beginning. Where did they get that information from? And they'll sit there and they'll say, how did they know this? I'll say, you know what? Your own language is going to tell you. Be patient. I'm going to show you. But there it is. And as they're looking at this, they cannot believe what they are seeing. So, they had a word for first. Look at the word for first. The first man was a living dust man. The Chinese people believed the first man was a living dust man. That's what they taught back in the beginning. Their own language. Their people believed in the God you read about in the Bible. What happened since then? I'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's move on. Because, again, it's the information. It just compounds with proof. So, what happened after that, folks? You've read your Bibles. You guys know about what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. Garden of Eden shows a picture of complete and perfect happiness as God and man live together as one. Let's remember that. That, my friends, is true happiness. Being united with God. It's not money. We might think even family. But I tell you, being united with God is the most important thing. There's true happiness. Now, the Chinese people, 4,500 years ago, they had a word for happiness. I wonder if it was a marriage. I wonder if it was having a baby. Their word, back here, when it started, was God, one, with man, in a garden. I asked them, I said, where are the Chinese people coming up with this stuff? I mean, what's that? Where did they pull that from? I told them, I said, you know what? They're saying exactly what I read about in the Bible. God and man together in the garden. So that was cool. My first trip to China, I remember looking under a plate of glass in one of the stores, and there was a little necklace there and it had this character on that for happiness. And I just had to buy it. I had to buy it for Deb. It wasn't that expensive. But, you know, there it is. And I asked them, you know what that means? No, they're like, they didn't understand what I was saying. Some of those places. But, again, it was there. It was common. And they understood exactly what that meant. So, now I tell them as we're studying, oh, I better back up here because I got to give you a little tidbit of information. It only happened twice. It only happened twice. When I got to this slide with two different men, they said, your slide is wrong. Well, I don't know Chinese. It could be wrong. I don't know. He says, that is not the symbol for God. That is the symbol for clothing. And I went, really? They go, I says, can we go on? He said, yeah, go on. So we went through some more slides. We're going to get to a slide. Remember when they ate the fruit and they saw that they were naked? You're going to see a slide that talks about clothing. And when he got to that slide, he went, oh, that's clothing. Yes, the other one is God. They are very similar. They are very similar. Well, you can imagine how I felt the second time when we got to this slide, months later, a guy goes, that's wrong. That's not God. It's clothing. I'm thinking to myself, I know what's coming. And sure enough, we got to that slide. He goes, oh yeah, that's clothing. The other one's God. All right. I just want you to see because they're the ones that are verifying this stuff. I'm not making this stuff up. A Chinese person put it together. But what we're seeing here is that evidence that they knew about this, and of course we're trying to figure out how did the Chinese people knew this? The Bible wasn't even put together yet. We're looking for evidence, guys, to try to convince people that God is and that His Word is true. Alright, now I tell them, you know what? I'm going to tell you something that's in the Chinese language that's not in the Bible. They contradict each other, or something that's in the Bible that's not in their language. I say, Chuck, why would you do that? Well, look, remember that garden? Well, when the Chinese people migrated, guess where it was? To them, it was in the west. You know, when Moses wrote about it, he says it was eastward. Well, it's kind of like where you are. If Danny stood up here, and Josh stood on the other side, and somebody said, Chuck, where's Josh? Or where's Danny? He's on my right. Josh, where's Danny? He's on my left. Huh, you guys contradicting each other. Well, yeah, it depends where you're standing. Okay? And so just because the Chinese people, see, if the Chinese people had a Bible, and they couldn't have had a Bible back there, but if they had a Bible, and I had some skeptics saying, well, they were just copying stories out of there and putting it into their language, well, once they got to read about Moses saying the garden is eastward, where would that have put it? Over here. They'd have put the garden in the water, the ocean. And so, no, they wrote it was west. Smart. They knew it was west. They knew it was west. Even though the Bible hadn't even been written yet, they were aware of that fact, and they put it into their language. So God planted a garden eastward in Eden, is what Moses wrote. But they said, you know what? There was the first person in a garden was in the west. Thomas, is that? That's what your language is saying. Your language, 20 or 4,500 years old, right? Yes. It's your language that is saying this. I'm not making this up. And I would keep pressing them on this. I would say, is this what your language teaches? And they'd say, yeah, it is. And when you get, like I say, two or more in a class, you'd be amazed at how they start reacting. Okay. Well, let's move on. Guys, it's their language. 4,500 years ago. Here it is. Two trees in the garden. We know the Bible story in Genesis chapter 2. Man was told, you know, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God gave man the ability to choose. And, of course, because it is, we say, there's the story. There were two trees in the middle of the garden. Tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. How many special trees, we would tell them. There were two special trees in the garden. All right. Here it is. Man was forbidden to eat one of the two trees. Do you know what? They had a word 4,500 years ago for forbidden. What did they do? Two trees and a command. I asked them, I said, you know what? Either the Bible's true and they get it right, or the Chinese people are a little crazy. I said, it doesn't make any sense to me. And they're just staring. They're just staring. They don't get this. I thought this was a Western book put together by Western men, and here's the Chinese people telling the very same stories, incorporating it into their language 4,500 years ago. How do you explain that? And they go, I can't explain it. I said, you know what? I can explain it. How do you explain that? It's in your Chinese language, and I'm going to tell you in a couple of minutes. So I keep getting them to hang on. I said, your own language is going to tell you. I don't have to do it. All right, so there's that evidence. All right, so what happened? You know what happened in the garden. Satan tempted Eve to eat of the fruit. And God told man not to eat of the fruit, so Adam and Eve were presented with the opportunity to sin. We get that in Genesis chapter 3. Now, for our future studies, guys, we just tell them about what sin is. We don't go into great detail yet because we're hoping down the road there's still more interest. They want to look at more evidences, and we help them. But we want them to see, back in the beginning, what breaks that fellowship is sin. And we plant that seed early on. But let's move on. Here it is. So the woman, she looks at it, desirable for food. And then she ate it, and the eyes of both of them were open. I got to tell you a quick story here. A lady I can remember teaching her. Forget her name right now. But we were teaching this, and she said, that doesn't make any sense. She goes, what do you mean? She says, well, how did she grab the fruit if she was blind? And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, then her eyes were open. I went, oh. Well, you know, when you're dealing with an immigrant, I mean, they don't understand what we mean by this. And the best scenario I could give to her was, at the time, was I said, and they had a little child there, and I said, if you give your 2-year-old girl and a 2-year-old boy a bath together, will they think anything? They said, no. Innocent. I said, yes. They ate the fruit, and their eyes were open, and they realized they were naked. She goes, I got it. She gets it. So she could see that they could see, but their eyes were open. Now, getting back to this, they had a word for desire back there 4,500 years ago, the desire. What do you think they're going to come up with? They came up with two trees, and I asked them, why this? And why a woman? Why did you pick a woman? Why didn't you pick a man? Because she's the one with the two trees. She looked at it, she desired it, she took it, and she gave it to her husband. And the Chinese people, they knew that information. How did they know that? Hang on. All right. This is one of my favorite slides. I don't have to do a lot of explaining here. Because when you talk about the serpent, we all know about the devil and Satan, right, guys? Look what we have here as they describe it. There's their symbol for Satan. The symbol for the tempter. You know, the devil is added to this. And you get, when you break them all down, you have this secret place, private garden with man, tempter, devil, two trees, and to cover. And I tell them, I am amazed with the detail of information here. And they didn't have a Bible. I am impressed with that. And it's accurate. And it's before the Bible was even written. And somebody's coming along and say, no, this is Western book. This is written by Western man. It's more of an English book. There is no God. Excuse me, we've got a problem with the Chinese language then. How do you explain this? And they can't. Unless they admit to the fact that this is not a Western book, which we eventually get to. Well, here it is. Naked. Man, fruit, naked. Clothing. I don't know if you guys could remember. I'm not going to click all the way back to the beginning here. But that clothing, very similar to God. I didn't realize it until the guy brought it up. And when I put them side by side, whoo, yeah, clothing. I could see how they got mixed up on that one. But they at least honest enough with me to say, oh no, that word is clothing. But I asked them here. I said, guys, you guys made the language. It's your ancestors. Can you tell me what fruit has to do with nakedness? They go, no. Doesn't make any sense. Oh, unless you know the Bible story. It makes perfect sense. It's logical now. Now I get it. But for the Chinese people back then, you know, even for them, even when they broke it down, I mean, Mr. Hung, they're going through this, and they're just studying this, and that's what the ancient language taught, but none of them were saying why. They're like going, I wonder why we did that. Nobody thought that. They just said, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. You know what? We are to be a thinking people. And we wonder why. And we try to get them. Now, so man was punished because they sinned. There's punishment on the woman and punishment on the man. Look what we have here. The woman. I always ask them, did it hurt when you had your baby? They would, yeah, hurt. Well, they had a word for pain back then. I said, I wonder what they came up with pain. They came up with a piece of two trees. Now, why did they come up with that? What's that got to do with anything? Ah, they know from what happened back in the garden. And again, how did they know that? We're getting there. We're almost there. We only have a couple more, folks. You've been very patient. Okay, three more. All right. There might be four. Okay, so the punishment for the man. And, you know, I sometimes just pass over. I think some are stronger than others. And I remember this one. I can, like, pass over it quickly. Maybe it doesn't have the strength of some of the other ones. I remember getting to this one time. I was over in China. And they looked at it and they went, whoa! I thought, really? And this is one. You know, man, you know, you kicked out of the garden. You know, you got to till the sweat of the brow, bring sorrow. Ancient weed sorrow. That was a cool point, but I didn't know if it had the impact as the others. But for that person, apparently it did, and they were impressed with that. And so, again, it just harmonizes. Now, the first murder, you guys know about this, Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's sons. Cain's the older one, kills the younger one. There's the Bible story. Cain made an attack on his brother Abel and put him to death. We tell him, that's in the Bible. We tell him, well, you think it's an English book. The older brother Cain killed the younger brother. Now, they had a word 4,500 years ago, get this, for cruel and violent. Moth man, eldest son. See, why didn't they use younger sister? Older sister? Younger son? The first cruel, violent person on the face of the earth, the eldest son. And they knew that. How did they know that? Oh, we're so close now. Here we go. And then there was the flood. Man continued to sin and they forgot about God. God was sorry that he had made man and decided to destroy it with a flood. However, there were three. There was Noah, and his three sons rather, and their wives. There was eight people. God told Noah to build an ark and he would save them from the flood. And we tell them, here's the Bible story that's there. It's because of sin. We stress that. And so Noah, his wife, there's the passages. Make the ark, go for wood. There'd be a great flood, and he told them all that would be on the ark. And so there were eight people on the boat. Well, you know where we're heading with this. They had a word for boat 4,500 years ago. Actually, a large ship. A large ship. And they put people on that boat. Of all the numbers in the world, they picked eight. And they're like, whoa. I said, you know what? If I was back there and I was your artist, I'd have put a bunch of people on that boat. Why would you put eight people? They knew that. Now, here's where it gets rather interesting. They had a word for total. Eight united on the earth. That was their word for total. Now, if you have total and just add water, that's all it is. Total and just add water, you have flood. That's their word for it. And so they knew that there was a flood and there were eight people. There it is. I said, that's the Bible story that I read there. And here's what happened. Here's the answer that they kept asking throughout the program. How did they know this? They had a word for hand down. Both persons, those eight people, plus water. They're saying, remember this tower here? When they departed, when they were scattered because of the language, what happened is they brought the stories that their families taught them. I would tell them, I said, you've immigrated from China to Toronto? Yes. Now I tell them, I said, you know, if your father told you a story, you can pass that on to your son. They go, yeah. I said, you don't tell your son that story, it's done. Because they keep saying, Chuck, how come today most people don't? I said, somewhere along the line, they stopped. They stopped believing. They stopped telling the story. But I'll tell you this much. It's in their language, it is there, and it was passed down from generation to generation. You see how important it is, folks, to have it accurate? And this is what they have there. I mean, the problem with some stories that get passed on from generation to generation, they may have a tendency to embellish and to change the facts a little bit. What I like about the Chinese language, that it has been unbroken and you can trace it all the way back, it's absolutely accurate. It's just one of the proofs that's out there. That this Bible is God's Word. What happened back in the beginning was real. The information that we got when the Bible was put together, it doesn't contradict this. If it contradicted this, I stay with the Word of God. This just supports it. It reinforces it. And folks, we need to realize that what we have is real. The Word of God is powerful. And we would use this as a springboard. Now the next lesson, believe it or not, when we talked about the problems with evolution, then I would show them this. You know what our next lesson was? Our next lesson to them, I would say, you see this Bible? We still wouldn't study it yet. We had a lot of preliminary stuff to do, groundwork. I said, I want to show you the problems if this is not God's Word. And they're like going, what? I said, look, let's just throw it away. If we throw the Bible away, we have some serious problems. You're in trouble. And they go, what do you mean by that? And I'll say, that's next week's class. And what we would get in there is to show them the problems that we would have if we don't have a standard. Then all of a sudden, man becomes the lawmaker. We have some serious problems. If this Bible is not God's Word, then who decides? Danny and I were talking about that on the phone the other day. We were talking about some of our C&E experiences when he came up and helped us out with our booth. And I've shared this story many times. And I remember the one guy that came up. I told Danny, I said, do you remember that guy? He came up and he saw our Bible booth and he said, that's the problem with the world today. And he kept walking. Well, there was a big table there and I threw my Bible. I just threw it and it came crashing down and got his attention. And I said, fine, give me something better. So he walked all the way around and he said, I'll tell you what we need. We just need to love one another. And I said, why? Because you said so? And you got mad. You see? What? You're trying to create a standard. I should do what you say? No. See, that's the problem. When you chuck this, no pun intended, but when you get rid of this, you know what? What becomes the standard? Man? We are not man followers. I try to tell them, Chinese people, I try to tell them, you know what? You need to think for yourself. You become a man follower. You have believed in evolution blindly. We would show them their problems and they could see it. I remember Preston. I'll never forget Preston when we went to the evolution. He went there, we got to one of the points and he goes, I knew there was a problem with that in class, but I didn't want to say anything. He could listen to the teacher. Now I'm saying it more eloquently, not that good either, than Preston did. But he just like, I knew something wrong. I didn't say anything. You know what? That could be you and that could be me. Are we thinkers? Why are you here? Why do you believe in God? Why did you obey the gospel? It better be your own choice. You better know why you do what you do. You need to know why you believe what you believe. And you need to have that strong foundation, because I'll tell you what, if you don't, you're going to leave this place and somebody's going to challenge you. And you better be up for the challenge, because if you're not, you're going to have some terrible bouts with doubts and you'll fall. We just need to keep building up our faith, folks. That's what it's all about. Strengthening our faith. I believed in our Lord before I even saw this thing. Did it change anything for me? Well, if I had never seen this, would my faith be any weaker? No. I'm okay with that. But you know what? It's just another tool that's out there that reinforces the fact that God is real. And He spoke. And I want you guys to realize tonight that God is real. And that He spoke. And He sent His Son for you. And He wants you to come to Him. Yes, there's lots that we need to talk about. But if you have a desire to want to learn more, please let it be known. Set up a class for you. Get a regular class. And just go through certain things. We're not upset if you question things. I don't get mad at people. I always tell brethren when you study with people, don't panic. You know, I walked into a class one time, the guy says, I believe in UFOs. I didn't like go, you're an idiot. Who believes in UFOs? I didn't say that. I said, you know what? You know, maybe the Bible will help us with that, and so we need to study. And so we did it. You know, don't panic. You know, you expect people that don't know to have questions. And we wouldn't look down on you if you're struggling and you have some doubts. And if you say, Danny, you know what? I have believed in God, you know, but I just struggle with that the Bible really is God's Word. Well, Danny's not going to put it on Facebook. Guess who's struggling? No. You're not going to do that. You know, the point is he's going to want to set a class up with you and help you to grow and to learn. And then you have that confidence to pass on to other people. We want to have a strong faith. We want to help build up that faith. We'll do it a small way this week, throughout this week. But if you have any questions or desires, please let us know. We're here to help. But become a child of God or be restored. We will read some verses. We will study. But we are here to help. Folks, if we can be helping you in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.